Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Bible study, T-Nut, there's nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C in the studio in Landover Hills, along with my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing, Sheila G?
I am blessed. I am blessed.
And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, how are you?
Doing well.
Lord, we thank God for allowing us to be back in Bible study one more time, and continuing to study the book of Philippians. We're finishing up, and then we're going to be going over into the book of Ephesians. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would allow us to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and there's always, God, that all of this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're finishing up, Sheila G, Dr. G, the book of Philippians. Again, we call this Paul's swan song or his love letter to the church at Philippi, and he closes out strong, and we're just going to look briefly down at verse 16, and let's go to verse 15, and we'll go down and close out through verse 23. But Philippians 4, verse 15 says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." So Paul, at the end, he was again letting them know how blessed he was that they communicated. In other words, they gave toward his mission, the missionary journey. And that's one of the things that I believe, and many mature Christians believe, that if you sow a seed, amen, that you will reap a harvest.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to say that again. If you sow a seed, you will reap a harvest. Sheila G, you can't reap the harvest if you don't sow the seed.
That's right. From nothing comes nothing.
And so these Philippians were sowing a seed in Paul's missionary journey, and you know that's the thing that in verse 16 he says, "For even in Thessalonica, you see it once and again unto my necessity," and When you understand that someone's in it with you, when you're in the ministry, that God will always provide somebody that's going to help when you're doing the work of the Lord, mm-hmm. provide that need. And Dr. G, I'm sure you've seen down through the years that you've been in ministry that God will always provide a ram. He always provide a way.
Yeah.
He'll always take care of the need that's at hand. And I didn't say want.
Right.
I said he'll take care of the
need.
Amen. And he'll always send somebody that has what you need.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, you're right. And that's just the way that the Lord works. And you are working faithfully. You know, the Lord will always watch out and he'll take care of those needs that you're saying in need of.
Absolutely. And Sheila G, when he says again, what I realize is that some people are going to be there with you for the long run.
Amen.
Amen.
Not to say that we're not thankful for the people that are there for the short run, but there's going to be some people there for the long run. And this is who Paul is mentioning, that there were some people that they sent, and they sent again, and they sent again. Sort of like, you know, when you have blessed parents, how your parents keep blessing you over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they understand your need, especially when you're young, you're starting off married or dating, and they know your tie's a little bald, and they'll you know, grant you a little extra so you can get some treads on their tie, or, you know, they know that something, you know, is needed to help you get to the next whatever it is. And, you know, that's the way it is in ministry, that people, God has people, I call them angels and people, he has stationed angels and people around us that show of God's love and his kindness, his grace and his mercy, and it will help us to continue on in ministry.
That's right.
And so he's telling them that they gave again in Thessalonica. In verse 17, he says, not because I desire a gift, but desire fruit that may abound to your account. So what Paul was saying is that it wasn't for him personally,
mm-hmm.
but it was for the cause of the gospel,
right.
that he might continue to spread the gospel. And I think, Dr. G, that's where a lot of, I wouldn't say the church as a whole, but I would think some of the leaders, I think when it comes to finances, sometimes they're thinking it's for them,
mm-hmm.
and not for the spread of the gospel.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head there. And too often, you know, they get it in their mind that, and they use that scripture about how the people are supposed to take care of the Lord's servant, you know, he's worthy of his
right.
hire and all
right.
that
right.
other good stuff. But you're right, you know, we're supposed to use it for the ministry of the gospel. And if we're doing that, God has got the best.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the kind of mindset that you would have, that he can't, we can't, Jesus said he came to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Paul's saying he's doing it for their good, in other words, he's doing it not for himself, but he's doing it for the spread of the gospel, that people might be built up, people might be encouraged, people might be edified by the spread of the gospel. And so he's saying, when they're giving to Paul that missionary journey, that it was to continue to spread the good news. And, you know, a lot of times if the leaders aren't doing that, then people will be hesitant, Sheila,
right.
to give. But
that's right.
But it costs money to keep the lights on.
Yes, yeah. It does. Everything costs money. There's nothing in this world that doesn't cost money. And that's what kills me is when people sometimes in the church don't want to give. You know, you'll give for things that aren't godly or things that aren't of the church, but you don't want to give to help God's house and help God's mission.
Mm-mm.
Again, here's the other side of that. People tend to think that they're giving the money to the preacher.
That's right.
But you're
That's
giving
right.
the money to the ministry so that
right.
God's word can go forward.
Mm-hmm.
And most organizations are set up so that the leader doesn't have the direct access to
right.
be able to abuse it.
Right. That's right. You got
most
checks and balances.
Most organizations mm-hmm. have checks and balances.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I said most, Dr. G.
No, they're chuckling.
But you know, you would want to have that transparency to
right.
say,
right.
hey,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's checks and balances here
mm-hmm.
that prevent abuse.
Right.
And you gotta have those things in place. And so when he says he does it on their account. You can tell when someone's trying to minister on behalf of the mission of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse 18, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, and odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So he's saying, at the end of this, he's saying it was really a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
He said it took care of the need. It was well-pleasing to me. It was something that when you're full, that means you're not lacking anything.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever Paul needed at that particular time for that missionary journey to help continue to spread the word, that's what they sent. And it was like a sweet-smelling savior. It was like a something when you smell like a rose or something,
mm-hmm.
when you smell like the beauty of a honeysuckle or something like that, something that is pleasing to know that God's people are working in concert with the Holy Spirit to get the work of the Lord completed. There's something about when you see God going forth with how God truly wanted it to go forward. And that's a blessing, and that's something we should continue to support, something we should continue to strive for excellence, that is done right, you can tell it's done right.
Right. Amen. And that's why if you do it according to the way the Lord wants you to do it, it can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong being led by the Holy Spirit. And by doing those things and doing it to edify Christ, and
right,
not
right,
self,
right,
it will get done right.
And when more people mature to that area, you really don't have to beg for people to get money.
No.
Because if your heart's right,
come on,
right,
then you're gonna understand through the power, like you said, she would be the Holy Spirit, that this is something that I need to continue to help,
mm-hmm.
because I see that it is the anointing of God that's
right,
actually pursuing the mission that God has outlined in his word.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to reiterate or reassure them, Dr. G, in verse 19, that if you do that, then God's going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ooh, and that's the principle right there.
Amen.
Nothing in, nothing out.
Amen.
And so in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need. See, Dr. G, they didn't read the rest of the verses that came for it.
Right.
They just want my God will supply all my need. They didn't read the prerequisite.
Right. You have to put something in it to get something out of it. He's just not going to supply it just out of GP.
You standing at the farm,
uh-huh.
looking at the ground, thinking
uh-huh.
that something going to come up, but you ain't
put
no seed back.
You didn't put
any
seed in there. That is correct.
You know, I think that the key was what you said, when folk mature.
Yeah.
Because
right.
as they're growing in Christ and trying to develop, you know, I've often wondered, why is it that, you know, I asked folk, I think it was the last Sunday, why is it that folk come to church with a dollar? And I think we all might be guilty of it at some point, but as you grow and you mature in Christ,
yeah.
you begin to understand,
right.
okay, you know, like you said, the lights have to be paid, the
yeah.
light bill has to be paid, the air conditioning bill has to be paid, the water bill has got
phone
to be paid,
bill.
Phone bills have got, you know, all of these things have got to be paid. But yet people are worried about giving that old preacher
right.
their money. And folk have told me that, and I would come back and tell them, if you go back and tell your individual that your pastor works.
Right. You are not supporting him.
Amen. So you're not supporting me.
Uh-huh.
And whatever you all get, you're giving it to the Lord.
Right.
To his
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But the thing is, you know, until they do mature,
right.
all they know is a dollar here and a dollar there. Right. But then if you talk about going out to eat, they'll spend
mm-hmm.
$20 and $30 in a minute.
Let them go to the club.
Wow.
Or Dave and Buster's.
Wow.
Drop a 20.
Come on. Come on now. But the principle, and I believe that this is a spiritual thing, that the enemy wants to keep people blind,
yep.
that you can go to the farm field and that you're going to reap something out of the farm field if you haven't sold it.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that you're going to reap out of the farm field is weeds and thistles. Don't want to this one.
That's right.
You're not going to reap the fruit that God wants you to reap.
Or that you could reap.
That you could reap. And so that whole farm principle of you're going to have to toil, you're going to have to turn the ground over, you're going to have to find good soil, you're going to have... So you got to find fertile... The Bible says follow ground. Turn it over.
Right.
In other words, you just can't go out there and in a crack or some soil. You got to find some good ground.
Mm-hmm.
You got to turn it over. You got to make sure it's good.
Right.
And then you sow into that.
Amen.
Yeah.
But we when we're immature, we're sowing into everything.
Mm-hmm.
We're sowing into just stuff that's not going to bring fruit. It'll
right.
bring a temporary fix,
right?
But it's not going to bring fruit. And what happens is, as you sow into it, it continues to produce fruit.
Right.
It's like relationships. And we always talk about how the Bible, it always dealing with relationships. If you find a person that is in love with God, that has the proper relationship with God, that's fertile ground,
Amen.
And that's ground that you can sow into,
Amen.
And know that it's going to keep producing
Amen.
Good fruit.
Amen.
Right.
But too many times, folk go out there and find some half-baked ground.
Come on.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on.
And try to sow into that ground,
mm-hmm.
and it might give you one good leaf.
All right.
That you think is good, but it turned out to be some poison ivy.
Amen.
Anybody ever got into a relationship with
poison ivy?
Oh, yeah.
Come back with a rag.
Come on.
Come back with the rag.
Did she say come back with a rag?
Yes,
she did. Yes, she did.
Yeah, I did.
Because
yes,
it was some weedy soil.
Mm. Yeah, I did. Plus, you wasted your time. Or should I say you wasted God's time? God is wants you to sow into that good soil, but you just keep walking past it and going to the thorns for whatever reason.
Talk to me.
So now you have to restart yourself and still try to allow him to put you in the right direction.
Breathe. Say it.
Good. Miss Green.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying. That's how we end up in the messes, and we just end up setting ourselves back.
And so Dr. G said, but people pick verses out just for
right.
But he
yeah.
says, but means
there's something
there was something was before
right.
and something that was there.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
so what it does is in that same context says that but means that the giving part had to come first.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Do you see what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Then the but connects and says, but the giving is not just one-sided. What's
right.
going to happen is now you've given,
Amen.
But God's going to give you more.
Right.
And nobody that I know, Dr.
Uh-uh.
G, can outgive God.
No.
So that but says those two are together. You
mm-hmm.
can't have one
mm-hmm.
without the other.
But
without
they keep trying to do it, though. They try. They keep trying to do it without the other. They want it from God.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to do anything up front.
Right.
So when people cherry pick scripture and they'll just go to verse 19 and
mm-hmm.
say, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, they really not seeing the but.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They say, my God.
My
shall...
God. They leave the but out.
Right.
That's one time they should have left it in.
They're missing the scripture before it when it says, right, and putting in context where he's saying that what you've done was well-pleasing to God, and as a result of how you treated me and how you've done and how you reaped, you're going to sow
mm-hmm.
by God giving you the blessings that in accordance to his riches and glory.
That's what the enemy doesn't want people to see.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's
he doesn't want to see that. Yours, our sowing, amen, is nothing compared to what God's riches
blessing.
Are.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, you're not doing it in vain, doing God's work and doing the work of the Lord. You're not doing it in vain because he's going to supply all your needs according
yes.
to his riches.
Yes.
But if you just sit there on your do-nothing, you're going to get do-nothing blessing.
Mm. There you go.
Or to put it in plain, simple terms, you're not working for free for God.
That's true.
Amen. And I always say nothing in, nothing out.
Amen.
Right.
Keep going out to that farm.
Come on.
Keep going out there. You looking at over the neighbors, they got corn stalks sprouting up. Goodness gracious, look at all that corn. Why ain't my stuff growing?
Not it's putting in the work. You're not doing
it. You didn't
anything.
Turn over the ground.
Right.
You didn't till it. You didn't run the rows. You didn't plant it. So you're standing there at your and thinking you're gonna get some, but you don't have anything.
Right.
Because you haven't done a sacrifice or something that's pleasing to God in order to get what was Cain in Abel,
mm-hmm.
where Cain gave didn't give the sacrifice. I got it twisted.
Yeah, Abel gave, but Cain didn't.
Cain
got
right,
upset.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. And so God said that that's not the offering that I'm
right.
accepting. He came in there with the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Rainbow left, flipped over, folded a couple times.
Honestly.
And then stuck his hand in place.
Right. And you know what killed me about that? It's like, okay, you may be hiding it from man, but God knows you know, man.
Exactly.
And man can do nothing for you.
Exactly.
And that's the thing, is we put more confidence and faith in man than we do in God.
Right. But this is where Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm in the end of my life, you've sowed into my missionary journey. Even at the end of my life, I'm full. In other words,
mm-hmm.
I didn't lack anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is you continue to give a sacrifice, an offering, an odor, a pleasing sacrifice that's pleasing to God. And he's saying, now know this, that your giving to the missionary journey is not in vain. Because if you're doing something to continue the work of God, what's going to happen is God now put that but there,
mm-hmm.
and that but joins those two conditions together
right.
in conjunction. It says that that's not the end, but God's going to bless you, supply all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, when you're giving out, God's going to continue. I'm going to run around the
that's
room.
Right.
Lord have mercy. Let me say that again, Sheila D.
Yeah.
So when you're giving it out, God's filling it back up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to run down the street.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He gives you the increase. God is going to constantly give you the increase. Even when the devil is like knocking you down, like you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it. You're doing this. You're spreading yourself here. You're doing this. You're doing this. But you're doing the work of the Lord. So God is going to give you that increase that the devil doesn't want you to realize
exactly.
He'll give it to you.
Exactly.
So it's like a lot of people don't want to do certain things because they're like, I can't. I have so much going on.
Right.
But if you're doing it unto the Lord will give you the increase that you need to be able to do it.
And Dr. G, that's where the faith kicks in.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
The evidence.
We're talking by faith and not
by
sight. So what's happening is I know what God's word says,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm acting by faith on God's word. So when I'm acting by faith on God's word, then he says that if I do this, that he's going to supply this. So even though I can't see it,
mm-hmm.
I'm believing it by faith,
mm-hmm.
and my maturity has got me to the point that I know he's going to backfill that thing.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Right. I know
he's
not going to put more on me than I can bear.
Hallelujah.
I know that there's going to be things I'm going to say, how did I get over when I look back?
Yeah.
And that's nobody but the Lord. I know because of that, as I'm doing this now and continuing to do his work, I will pull on my back my
yeah.
past victories.
Yeah.
And I can walk like I am victorious.
Amen. And that scripture like there, people won't say the but. They
mm-hmm.
say, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. But did you take care of that thing on the front end?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
When you take care of that thing on the front end, now you've sown, and now you walk out to your field, and now in due season, Lord have mercy, you'll see that stuff sprout up, and you'll be able to reap that harvest that you sowed.
That's right.
But the Bible says if you so sparingly,
hello.
You reap sparingly.
Say it.
That's right.
Amen. And let me just jump in. I got to put a plug in for tithing,
mm-hmm.
because I found I had to learn it. I had
mm-hmm.
to literally go through it and live it, because when I was coming in with Sheila, even though I was in the ministry,
yeah.
I was robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And girlfriend came in automatically, get that paycheck, give the Lord his. And
right.
She do it with some out. And I began to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that, and it doesn't matter what you got going in your life as far as finances,
mm-hmm.
that when you give God his focus,
he'll back all right.
that.
He will bless you in ways you can't even imagine. And fast forward, what, almost 26 years now,
mm-hmm.
we're witnesses to how good God, and when he says he will supply all your need.
Yeah.
And then that scripture that it says, seek ye first
the kingdom
of God
yeah.
and his righteousness
yeah.
and all those other things
yeah.
shall be added unto you,
mm-hmm.
we're witnesses to that.
That's amen.
Right.
So the whole thing of tithing, when you do it God's way,
amen.
And I told folk on Sunday, you know, how many of you all want a financial blessing?
Hmm.
Got to do it God's
yes,
way.
Yes, you do.
Bottom line.
Tithing, it works.
Yes,
bottom
it does.
Line.
Amen. It does. And that's something that our parents taught us when we first started getting our allowances. So I don't know anything different.
Right.
But we could see how it worked with them because, again, they initially rubbed two nickels together, but in the end, you could see
mm-hmm.
the fruit,
yes.
and it's even passed down onto their children.
Yeah, and I get excited about that because when you were saying it, Dr. G, it says all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will put an F on that.
On it.
Y'all don't hear me tonight.
Hello.
I'm Gary mm-hmm. running down the bell.
Come on, yeah.
He said all your needs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's covered.
Right.
Amen.
In other words, God sees every all your needs is one thing. In other words, he says, I see it all.
I know what you need.
Right, right. You don't have to put needs on it.
Right, because it's not this one. It's all of it,
mm-hmm.
period. Need, period. You need it, you got it.
That's just like what he says, I am that I am. So whatever you need, I am.
I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
I need, I am.
That's right. Whatever the need,
I am.
He supplies.
And so when you look at that, and that's why I love to go line by line and word by word in Scripture, because when God reveals that to the Holy Spirit, what it does is it opens up like a light that comes on in you that the Holy Spirit is bringing, just letting you know that God has this thing covered.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
He got this thing covered. And there's no way that we can outdo God's riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Absolutely not. There's no comparison.
And John wrote in St. John 1:1, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that all things were made by him.
Mm-hmm.
It was not anything that was made that wasn't made by him. So
that's
in other
right.
words, he got it all.
Yes,
so why are you going to go somewhere else where somebody might have a little bit
and give them multiple dollars?
Mm-hmm. And he's got it all.
Amen.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
And so now it's a blessing to see him to recognize those people that did that and to put that in Scripture before he gives his closeout benediction, but to let them know that your labor Dr. G is not in vain.
Amen.
In the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so when he goes in verse 20, that's when he used the word now.
Mm-hmm.
That for other verses, but he was pointing
mm-hmm.
those things out. And here it is now. In other words, this is the end of this letter,
amen.
this prison epistle,
his
swan song, if you will, his love letter to the church of Philippians, and now he's saying now. In other words, let's wrap it all up, and everybody's going to have that in their life. There's going to be a now in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we realize it or not, somewhere in our lives, God has a now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That means we're wrapping it all up.
That's right.
Amen.
And believe it or not, all of us are getting to, we don't know when it's going to be,
that's
right.
but all of us are getting to now.
Amen.
And the thing that with Paul at his now is he's reflecting to God.
Hello.
And so the question is, are we ready for the now
Hello.
That God has prepared for us? Are we at ease with, are we ready to deal with that now part of our lives,
mm-hmm.
where we're saying to God, okay, now, all right, I run my course,
mm-hmm.
I finished my race, I played a good fight,
mm-hmm.
I kept the faith,
yeah,
I've done everything that God has instructed for me. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm okay with my relationships with human. I'm a relationship with God. I'm good with it now.
All right.
Yeah.
And he didn't say unto anybody else.
Hmm.
He says, now unto us, God and our Father be what? Glory forever and ever.
Amen.
So he says, all of this is all is the glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sheila G., are we ready to say that at the end of our lives, that we all, that we're saying that all that I've done, that I've tried to do was to give glory to God?
And that's where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we wake up every day, not at the end of our lives, it's like, Lord, help me to be an ambassador for you.
Amen.
And if we single day try as best we can, put forth our best effort to be an ambassador for Christ, yes, we can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. G, he's saying glory. How do we bring glory to God in our lives?
Basically just living for him. Giving our, if we have given our lives over to him, then we're bringing glory to God. Because every step that we make, it'll be for the Lord. Everything that we do will be for the Lord. Every word that come out of our mouth will be for the Lord. Our all in all will be for the Lord.
And that's powerful, to be at the end of his missionary mm-hmm. journey, end of what God has laid for him, to say, now,
mm-hmm.
all of this was done.
I'm good, man.
I'm good to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put the amen there, that means so be it.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So you know, when we look at this word and we look at the example that God has given through Paul, and we're like, wow, he's in a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Glorifying God, giving God the
glory. Glorifying God.
Come
mm-hmm.
on now.
Not in a fancy mm-hmm. mansion somewhere.
Nope.
But he's in a prison, still ministering, still encouraging,
yeah. uh-huh.
and he's saying, to God be the glory forever and ever, amen.
Amen.
It would be my prayer that every Christian would be able to get to that point,
mm-hmm.
that through their lives they would say, all right, now that I'm okay with this thing, that I've turned it over to God, and everything that I've done has been to glorify him. And you can be at peace. And you can tell Christians who have reached that point.
Yeah.
You can see.
Yeah.
The drama doesn't bother them.
Mm-hmm.
The little stuff that doesn't work right or doesn't go right. You might see a little, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Because their life is to glorify God, and they know that they're not focusing in
mm-hmm.
on those little things mm-hmm. that can so, I believe it says, so easily beset them
right.
or divide them or distract their attention. When you see people focusing on what God wants, they're ready for that now.
Yeah.
They figured this thing out.
Right.
Once you figured it out, that all the rest of this stuff really doesn't add up to anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just dressing. It's not the meat.
Yeah.
And Paul has figured this out. He says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And that pretty much sums it up. When your life can say, that the songwriter said, let the life I live speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let it speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
I did what I could that I knew to glorify God. And you can be okay with that.
That's right.
Sheila G.
That's right. And that's the thing. That's why you have to live it every day, because you don't know when your end of your life is. You know, I just lost an intern this past week. He's a 23-year-old man at the prime of his life, and he had a motorcycle accident. And so because you don't know that, that's why we have to live our lives to Christ every single day. So that when we do, we have to have that now experience of like, okay, it's the end of the day. Thank you, Lord, for getting me through another
mm-hmm.
one. Now I'm ready to get up and start it all over again.
Yeah.
knowing that if I put you first, there won't be anything that I can't handle.
And Dr. G, it's like you're saying, now I don't have any regrets.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for me, when I look at that, because you touched on that word peace,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you got that kind of peace, that you've done everything
mm-hmm.
that you can possibly do, spreading of the Lord's word, even in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you hit it right there. You know, this man was in prison on his deathbed, and he's talking about he's at peace
yeah.
with God. And yet, here we are sometimes.
Uh-oh, come on, preacher.
You know, with all that we have, we're never at peace. We're never satisfied.
Never happy. Always
never
complaining.
Happy, always complaining. And yet, this brother getting ready to die and still preaching and ministering to people and thanking folk for what they've done.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that right there blows.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
I mean, but it's awesome when you can get to that point like that.
You can get to the now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like now. We ran this thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're both shipwrecked.
Mm-hmm.
You beaten.
Hello.
Yeah.
Had to skate, get lowered down in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Lied on.
Come on.
Scandalized.
Mistreated.
Used and abused.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
But keep in mind now that this was the same Paul started out persecuting folks.
God
so it's not how
anybody.
You start,
mm-hmm.
but it's how you end.
Right.
Yeah. But he's ready. He's ready. And how he ended up, and that's a good feeling right there. When you get to that maturity level, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether I'm up top. Whether I'm in first class,
come on.
Whether I'm in the back,
coach, at least I'm in it.
I'm on the plane.
All
that's
right.
Right. Yep, and I'm happy.
And I'm happy about mm-hmm. it. And so then after that, he gives the rest of the salutation, the end of the letter,
mm-hmm.
which is to wrap it up. And he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. So he's again recognizing those that have made the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because he makes the distinction of every saint in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got some saints that are
watch
in the Bible.
Watch out. Watch out. Tell it. Come on, keep it real.
But Dr. G, you see, he made the distinction. The saints that are in
Christ
Jesus. Old Deacon used to call them ain'ts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Paul knew there were some hellions
in
the church.
Oh, yeah.
Taking the funk.
They were saints for something else. They weren't
right.
saints for
Come
God.
On.
They were saints for something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made the distinction. He said, now, that every saint in Christ Jesus
mm-hmm.
also the brethren which are what?
With
me. Greetings. In other words, there is a family of God
oh,
that,
mm-hmm.
that people know the true brethren
mm-hmm.
and know the true saint.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sheila G.
Yep, that's right. That's why. And for him to even say the brethren which are with me, he's bringing everybody together. That's him unifying the saints, the church, by saying we all greet you.
Yeah. And to know that there's encouragement, there are folks in this thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many times you can get discouraged, Dr. G. You can get disappointed. Mm-hmm. You might actually go into depression when you say, is there anybody
Come
really
on.
Out there serving
mm-hmm.
the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody pimping?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody a wolf in sheep's clothing?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you can get to the point where you just get
discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, what are these people doing?
Yeah.
They're pimping the gospel.
Yeah.
Big time pimp. And wolves in sheep clothing, leading
mm-hmm.
people astray. And you're like, oh my gosh, is there anybody? And Paul's saying, you know, all the saints that are in Christ Jesus, brethren that are with me, that there is, I believe the Old Testament called a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
A remnant. Not a wall-to-wall carpet,
mm-hmm.
but a remnant.
Right.
That means there's a rug.
There's a small piece
that are the whole. So everybody that's packing out the church,
ain't about it.
Building
Mm-mm.
is not in the body
Mm-mm.
of Christ.
Amen.
That's right.
And that can be discouraging.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're presiding and you're in leadership over a large amount of people. And you say, most of these folk in here don't even know me.
Come on now. Come on.
I'm going to let you speak on that.
I don't mind. And you're right. And you know, and it's funny because the Lord had to really deal with me because, you know, coming up and pastoring, I was always, and I shared with the church, always looking for the numbers. I wanted a large crowd. And you're right. There's something about the numbers that seemed to just blow our minds.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet God had to let me know that it's not about the numbers. It's mm-hmm. not about how many people are there.
Nope.
It's about that small, as you said, that small remnant
yes.
that
uh-huh.
are serious about Christ.
Right.
And they're willing to go that extra mile and do what he wants to be said. Because everybody in the church is not of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to a point, and you're right, it does become discouraging.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Lord will let certain folk come around or in his own way.
Mm-hmm.
He'll let you know that you're there for a special reason.
Absolutely.
So don't worry about the numbers.
Absolutely.
But you do what I'm telling you to do, and you'll be at peace too.
Amen.
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 Let's see if we get some folk on the line. We're going to go to 212. 1-2-2, you're on air.
Happy Thursday. And, you
Happy
know,
Thursday.
I just thank God. I just thank God that obedience is the key to that. Because
yeah.
as I was looking, if Noah wasn't obedient, you know, there was dire consequences.
Amen.
If Brother Paul wasn't obedient, look, we wouldn't even have he have this book here.
That's right.
And especially Jesus Christ, if he wasn't obedient, we might as well
oh
just go
God.
Hog wild.
Case closed. Case closed.
Yeah. No.
So obedience pays huge dividends, and it can have a ripple effect upon other people.
Amen.
And that's all I want.
God bless you. Thank you for calling tonight. Let's go to 4193. 4193 on the air. 4193. All right, let's go to 5904. 5904, you on the air? Good evening, 5904. All right, let us go to 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, Pastor Kason. Pastor Gregory and First Lady.
Bless you.
God bless you all. I just want to share that when we look back at Jesus, Jesus was our example. And he only had a few.
Mm-hmm.
And of the ones that he picked, even one of them was chosen to be, you know, a betrayer. But
mm-hmm.
Jesus wanted to show men that you didn't need to have the whole world, and the whole world was not going to follow you, because out of the ones that he chosen to care for his word,
mm-hmm.
They made a tremendous impact upon man.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So all God yeah. wants someone that has a committed, a faithful heart and love mm-hmm. him. And that one person can do more than 50 persons.
Come on.
That couldn't care less, only have their own agenda.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen. Said a word.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your input tonight. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, let's go to 6326. 6326, you're on the air. Good evening, 6326. Folks just listening. Let's go to our studio audience. Let's see what they have to say about this.
Thanks.
All these saints. They might not be saints. Amen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
about the saints. You have saints in the church that are truly working for God, and then you have the saints in the church that are working against God. And those saints, they bump heads. And also, sometimes that's why you have cliques in the church, because you know who's about God's word, and then you also know the people who are not about God's word. And when God gives you the spirit of discernment, you know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that, as they're saying, you can fake it until you make it. But, you know, with God, there ain't no faking. There's no faking with God. You're either going to be for him or you're going to be against him. And some of the saints, like Minister Lindsay said, we have a hidden agenda, and it's all about me.
Amen. Amen. All right. Here we go, one more in the studio audience.
I think the Sister Kayson had definitely touched on everything. That was very good. And just to kind of piggyback off of what she said, it's definitely, you know, people, you can definitely tell when you have that spirit, you can kind of tell who's about God and basically who's kind of for themselves. But the main thing to understand, too, is that we don't want to lose hope. We want to pray for those individuals
because
I know we can all remember or reflect at a time in our lives that we were involved in the church, mm-hmm. and look at where we are now and how mm-hmm. far we've come. So I think those
Amen.
Individuals we definitely need to pray for, but also remember, too, we're not all on the same
right.
level in the same
Amen.
Tier. But ultimately the goal is for us to work together to ultimately to make it about God. So I think when it's that, definitely pray about it. Pray as far as if you want to approach the individual or how you want to approach that individual. But
Amen.
Definitely it's something that you definitely need to pray with, and hopefully, you know, God will be able to use you or use several individuals in
Amen.
The church where they can actually save that individual and kind of turn them around.
Amen. And you know, looking at this, when Jesus gave Paul and gave us all, we call it the Great Commission, where he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Holy Ghost, he didn't say, go and it was going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
Go and everybody was going to accept
Mm-mm.
it.
That's right.
He just gave the command to go.
But he'll supply your needs.
And he
Amen.
Said, I'll be with you
always,
even to the end of the world. Amen.
Amen.
So it's our responsibility not to get discouraged about the folk that are faking, those
mm-hmm.
folks
mm-hmm.
that are not sincere or
at
those
all.
That are not committed. But it's our job, and Paul wrote this also, I believe, Donnie D, he says, our job to plant,
mm-hmm.
and our job is to water,
mm-hmm.
and that God will give the increase.
Increase, that's right.
And so while we're here, we're supposed to be in the vineyard planting and watering.
Amen.
It's not up to us
nope.
to make the determination when the increase will come.
That's right.
You're right. And to tap in on what Brandon was saying, you know, our job is to help win souls, not drive folk away. And too often within the body of Christ, especially the church, you find that people get so caught up because folk aren't like they are. And next thing you know, they're treating people differently.
Mm.
No, we have to love everybody.
That's right.
Now,
that's
if
right.
they bust hell wide open, that's on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do what I'm being told
yeah.
by God. I got to love everybody, whether I like what you're doing or not.
That's
Amen.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
And so it's up to the Lord. I mean, granted, the Bible teaches all through there that the road leading up is narrow.
It's mm-hmm. narrow.
So question is, are you going to be part of the ones that are going up or going down?
And at the end of the day, you're right. That is your personal decision.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you the guidebook.
Amen.
I can point you in the
Amen.
Right direction,
Amen.
Which is what part of that reap the sowing is.
Right.
And I can give you guidance and everything. But at the end of the day, it's between you and
Amen.
Lord, and it's a personal relationship.
Amen.
So
Amen.
I can't
make it,
and I can't make you. I can't like force you.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is put
Courage.
It out there for you and encourage
mm-hmm.
you. In fact, me pushing you. If I push you further away from Christ in my bulliness, being a bully,
right.
then that blood is going to be on my hands
yeah, right.
because I blocked somebody from being able to draw closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so even in his salutation, he's encouraging the body to be as one. So when we look at verse 22, it says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. And what does this mean, Caesar? It wasn't that Caesar was converted or anybody in his household, but those who probably worked in Caesar's household, those people that were working in regular jobs.
Amen.
It's sort of like when we go to work for the federal government or any good government job or any private industry job.
Right.
Everybody up in there, did I say everybody?
Everybody. Second time tonight you said everybody.
Everybody up in there is not saved. But it's our job to take Christ up in there and represent.
Amen.
And when we take him up in there, we can represent. They ain't going to be, man, there's some folk in that federal government that got saved. There's some folk up in Annapolis, government got saved.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, JP was up in there walking the life of Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, Sheila G was in there working the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Or Dr. G or Pastor C were working the life of Christ. And so, when he's saying there are people that were in places everywhere, Caesar's household. Not to say again that Caesar himself was saved, but the people that were working in and out of the city in everyday life, that they salute you, that they are concerned about you. And so there is a family of God, and you can tell when you're at work, when you interact with people. You can tell people that are godly and people
that
just go to church. Did it say that?
Yes, and that's true. It stands out. It really stands out because it's lip service versus seeing how you live. How many times do you see someone that's like, yeah, we had a great time in church yesterday, but then in the afternoon they're cranky as all get out. You'll bite your head off.
Hello.
You're like, okay, what happened to that service yesterday? You didn't bring it into Monday.
Nah. It left when they left the church.
Well, you call it a temporary high.
But let me throw this out. You know, you're talking about those Caesar's household, and you're right. As we go to our secular jobs, you know, we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ, examples of Christ. And I find that when I go on my job, I carry myself in a godly manner.
Yes.
I've got some of the big shots up on the seventh floor who call me Mr. Bill or Mr. Gregory. And it's the way you carry yourself.
Yes.
It's the way you present yourself. Now, if you present yourself as a thug, Jessica, you're going to get back. But if you present yourself as a godly individual, the Lord knows. And we have to carry that wherever we go.
Amen.
Amen. So this household, this Caesar's household, Sheila G. Some people would try to tell you that there is no more godly folk, that there isn't a remnant. But Paul here is even encouraging them that keep going on with this thing because
that's
there's
true.
A remnant even in Caesar's household.
That's right.
So
that's right.
He might think it's impenetrable, but you know there's no boundaries on the gospel.
No, not at all.
It can penetrate the most stoniest heart.
Amen.
So that would give us the determination that, wow, he's saying even in Caesar's household, if this gospel can get in Caesar's household, I know it can get in my home. I'm going to go talk to Bebe.
Come on.
I'm going to go talk to Krakia and the rest of them in my house, because I know that the Lord can even reach them. Come on, Krakia.
I'm telling you, I know there was a time when my kids were acting up, that I have gone in their room, I have put my hands on them, and I have prayed the demons out.
Amen.
Out. One time I prayed so hard that when I went to I was fighting the devil.
I know that's right.
It was like he came out. It didn't come all in me, but it was a fight.
Yeah.
Because I had just bound that demon in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I said, you're going to come out of my child.
Amen. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Sure enough, when I went to sleep, there it was. I was like, I'm going to fight you in my sleep.
That's right. That's right. And so, Dr. G, that gives us hope.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, can you imagine, even in this letter, he's saying that, yeah, We even got into Caesar's household. Gospel jumped into Caesar's household. And he think he got it going. He just don't know there's folk in there praying and carrying on in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Even where you won't even let them. And so all around the globe, there's no boundary. And the first century cert was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The record says that they turned the world upside down.
Right.
The way the world was known, Caesar's, the way the government was,
mm-hmm.
they came in there and turned the world upside down. But it's somewhere along the line, we done got so complacent that it looked like the world had flipped back up the
way.
Oh,
my goodness.
Keep it real.
Keep it real.
But the first century church, they said, these are they
mm-hmm.
who turned the world upside down.
Right.
They said, what in the world happened up in here?
Amen.
Up in here.
Mm-hmm.
These folk coming here praising and talking the word of God, and people that were stony heart are now loving.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We need some of that now.
Amen.
Have states that are going back to be the Wild Wild West.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God.
Mm-hmm. Doing away with affirmative action.
Mm.
Just crazy stuff.
We need to turn the world
upside
down.
The church needs to go back to the first century attitude.
So
we're going to penetrate Caesar's household and turn this thing upside down. And then verse 23, the last part of that salutation, he talks about grace.
Mm. Mm.
And Paul, we studied about this a little earlier, he had that thorn in the flesh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But at the end, Dr. G, he's still talking about that grace.
Okay. All right.
Where would we be, Sheila G?
Without grace.
I'm going to run around here in a second.
That's right.
Where are we going to be, saints, without God's grace?
Mm-hmm.
The ability to give us what we need, even though we don't deserve it.
Mm. That's what he does every single day, even though we know we don't deserve it, but he still gives it to us.
My Lord. Dr. G, what are we going to do about that grace?
Mm. We'd be in a world of trouble.
Mm.
Huh? I mean, I don't know about nobody else. I know I would.
Mm-hmm.
And so here Paul is at the end of his last verse. He says in verse 20, grace. Because we're saved by what?
Grace.
Through faith.
Mm-hmm.
So here he's talking about the thing that saved his soul.
Mm.
At the end.
Yep.
At the now. He's talking about the grace that saved his soul.
That's right.
And he wants everybody to experience that saved his soul.
Right.
And when you experience that God's grace, now you want everyone else to experience
mm-hmm.
it. So now you have the grace to be able, through whatever situation it is, to have the grace to be able, the ability to be able to put up with whatever to get that message out. And so he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. 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 Huh. And that's great. Because of that grace, that's how you can have peace.
Well,
that's how you can go through is any situation knowing that it's not based on what you deserve. God is going to give you what you don't deserve. And so because you know that he's going to do that, he's making that, whatever you're going through, you're like, okay, Lord, I got peace.
Mm-hmm.
I got peace because I don't have to feel like, well, if I didn't do this and I haven't been living right and I haven't done this, I hope you're going to help me
peace.
Out of this
That's
situation.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're going to have, because of his grace, you know.
Yeah.
You know he's going to get you through.
Yes. Even in the most difficult time.
Yes,
amen.
You know.
He'll
give
you what you need.
Amen.
He'll give it to you. You may not like what it is at that situation. You may not understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, may not understand, why am I going through this again? How come this week this happened to this person, this happened to this, this happened on a job, this. But then you just get stronger from it.
Yeah.
Because you're of it, when it's that one more thing, just, you know, you're like, if I have to go through one more
really?
Thing.
Really? Yeah, he's like, really?
But when you get that one more thing, you know that because of God's grace, you can still have peace. You know that, you know what, Sunday's coming, Monday's coming, Tuesday's coming. I'm going to look back on this and say, how I got over it.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to close this out? I'm going to run around.
Praise the Lord. Can we bow our heads? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for the word. We thank you, O Lord, for Paul. We thank you, O Lord, for letting us take a look at his life. Father, we pray right now that we might come to a closer understanding and be better for it, O Lord, and even in where we are on our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Father, as we go on tomorrow, I pray that we will take God with us,
yes.
that we'll let the example of Christ shine through. And, Father, I pray that we might be mindful of that grace, oh God,
yes.
that it's not in us. It's not that we've earned it, for this is the grace of God. Now, Lord, I pray that you will bless those that have called in. I pray that you will bless those that have come out. And, Father, we pray that those that still just don't get it, pray that you would convict them, oh God, until they get to that point where they understand that they need this word.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray that you grant us traveling mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, we pray that if it's your will that on tomorrow we awaken and we can start this thing all over again. We do ask it all right now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Everyone, we're studying Ephesians next week. Bless you.
Caught up in that water, man.